Well, 43,000 homes gone from the private rental market in the last 5 years, and over half of existing small private landlords want to get out. That's what the Residential Tenancies Board told the Oireachtas Housing Committee today. And it comes at a time when more than a quarter of a million tenancies are drawn from that sector and when housing supply is desperately short. Christina, what's the RTB and what did we hear from them today?
Yeah, well, kind of an insightful survey or preliminary results from a survey that they had with small landlords saying that I think over a quarter of them are looking to get out of the market within 5 years, 15% this year. And they're listing off a number of reasons of why they want to leave, saying that regulations are chopping and changing all the time and it's hard to navigate, and that for many of them, the tax is just too high for them, and they're just maybe not seeing, you know, the returns that perhaps they're hoping for when they first decided to become landlords. So I think it kind of puts perhaps a sharp focus back into what was being discussed in and around budget time. There was lots of discussion between Dara Brian, the housing minister, the Taoiseach Leah Varadkar was also commenting on tax breaks for renters. And if they were brought in, then something had to be done for the smaller landlords. And that didn't really play out as such within the budget. It did very much fizzle out, much to the surprise, I think, to many people, because it did seem to be almost a sure thing. So I think it perhaps will come back into the discussion and focus, perhaps when Taoiseach Leo Varadkar takes over in a couple of weeks' time. He's talked about having a fresh look at housing. So I wouldn't be surprised if we start to have further discussions on that.
Christopher O'Sullivan, what's been done to keep them in the market? They say there's too much regulation, too much taxation, not enough profit. It's not worth it. They're getting out. And over half of them, I think 60% of the 500 landlord survey told the Residential Tenancies Board they have every intention to sell up and get out.
Yeah, if a quarter of the landlords that were surveyed are saying that their intent to exit in the next 5 years and they intend to sell, then clearly not enough has been done. And I can kind of give you a microcosm of what's happening on the ground in my own constituency, in my hometown of Clonakilty. It kind of gives both examples of what's happening in terms of housing in Ireland at the moment. So we've given out in the region of about 120 local authority homes, social homes, to people who need them, people who most need them, which is really welcome. That makes a big difference,
right,
to a top of the size of 5,000.
On the private landlords
exactly
themselves.
And so what happens there is, you'd imagine, because of many of those tenants are coming from HAP tenancies, they're coming from private tenancies, you would imagine that would have left a lot of private rental accommodation vacant for people who are looking for private rental accommodation to move in. It wasn't there because the landlords decided that being a landlord wasn't for them and decided to sell up and move out. So clearly not enough has been done, but what I think should be done, this is what Minister Dara Brian is constantly, the message that he's sending to local authorities, is that local authorities need to avail of this tenancy in situ scheme. This is whereby if somebody is a HAP tenant in a private rental accommodation, then the option should be given to local authorities. Local authorities should explore the option of purchasing that house for the tenant so that they can stay in that house. I would also think that we should keep that idea of the tax break or the tax incentive at the very least on the table. Everything has to be on the table.
Right, very quickly, for whom? For the landlord or for the renter?
Well, we have the €500 credit for the renter this year, which I know is very, very welcome. But certainly if landlords are deciding that it's not financially viable to stay, okay. These are the small landlords, which makes up 94% of the landlords that we're talking about, then that's something that has to be considered and put back on the table, I think.
Owen O'Brien, they're leaving the market because they say it's just not sustainable. Do you buy it?
Well, that's not what the data from the RTB says, and it's really important that we actually stick to the facts here. So two things were very clear from the report from the RTB. 15% of single property landlords are talking about selling in the next year, and another 10% are talking about taking back the property for their own family use. So that's 25%. But if you look at the 15% who say they're going to sell, in fact, only less than half of those are saying that because of tax or regulation. There are two other groups of landlords in there, what we call the accidentals, people who never wanted to be landlords, got stuck with negative equity. It's very clear from the data there's a significant portion of them who are leaving no matter what because of positive equity in the market. And then there's another group, the data shows, who what we call pension pot landlords. People who bought a property, not so much for the rental income, but as they were approaching pension age, they would cash in, very legitimately, of course, for a lump sum. So actually, what the data tells us of the 25% of landlords who are considering selling in the next year, only a small portion of those are selling because they believe they're overregulated, not making enough money, or because of taxation. The rest are going no matter what. So the first thing is we have to change the conversation.
Does the data not say that far more of them are planning to leave in the long term? Ultimately,
no,
they don't see a future in it.
And there was some misreporting, unfortunately, in one of the newspapers that said that 60% of landlords were saying they wanted to get out. That's not the case. In fact, about 70% of landlords are saying they're okay, they're fine, leave them alone, don't do anything more with them, but they're okay. But we still have this kind of 25%. That's huge, right? Because in every one of those homes, there's a family or a single person living. That is their home. And because the government isn't delivering enough social affordable housing, if and when those landlords sell, the risk of homelessness is huge. So what do we need to do? We need to stop asking, can we stop landlords going? And instead, we need to accept that there is going to be, over the next number of years, as there has been for the last 6 years, a steady stream of landlords, for a variety of reasons, selling up. Government has to put in place a comprehensive plan to try and ensure that, A, as many of those properties are transferred from the private rental sector to other sectors, social rental, cost rental and owner occupation. And where that's not possible and where families are given notices to quit, there is an increased and accelerated delivery of social and affordable housing to meet that need. That's a completely different conversation than one we've had before. But let's be very clear. What the data tells us today is a large number of landlords, for very legitimate reasons, and I'm not criticising the landlords, are going to continue to leave.
But given that this is an emergency, by your own analysis, should anything and everything be done to try and keep as many people in the market, given all the pressures that are there? Even those that intend to leave, to perhaps incentivise them to stay at it?
So if you're going to, for example, do what the Irish Property Owners Association asked, which is a very, very significant reduction in the base rate of tax for landlords, that will cost hundreds of millions of euros. If you're going to use those hundreds of millions of euros for that purpose, you want to make sure that a large number of landlords are going to stay.
Right.
And the evidence says they're not. So it would be much better to use that hundreds of millions of euros in increasing and accelerating the delivery of social affordable homes.
Right.
But we can do more in terms of, as landlords are selling, ensure, for example, Tatney House in Dublin 8 today, it's 35 apartments. The owner is selling. That's fine. An approved housing body could purchase that, not just for social rental, but for affordable rental as well.
Yeah.
It's those kinds of solutions we need.
Well, I think the reality of that is, will that housing body pay the asking price? And I think that's it's fine for the minister to say, you know, that county councils should purchase the homes that are being sold that have RAS tenants or HAP tenants. But ultimately, if they're not offering the market value, then the landlord is not going to sell. And I think that's where we fall down. The minister is only giving an advisory. He's given them money. But it is still up to the county council how they spend that money. And I'm seeing it every day where they're not making valid offers and now they're doing nothing because we have an eviction ban for until the 1st of April. So, I mean, the reality is everything Christina said I have in my constituency office. I deal with tenants, I deal with landlords. From a landlord's perspective, the RTB is a very difficult organisation to navigate, particularly if you're an older landlord. You know, they don't correspond. It's very difficult to get a response. What you'll hear all the time is if there's an issue with the tenant, the landlord gets a call immediately, you know. But if the landlord needs information from the RTB, it can take months. So I think we have a lot of things to sort out and the RTB itself is one of them.
Okay. Christopher O'Sullivan, the number of people exiting the market or staying in the market, that's one thing. But the alternatives to take the pressure off what you're talking about in local areas, Catherine Murphy at Leaders today saying that 11 local authorities hadn't started a single social house. How does that happen?
Yeah, and there needs to be far better consistency across local authorities in terms of delivery. Cork County Council, they have a really good, proud record of social housing delivery. I mentioned the 120 houses there in Clonakilty. The same could be said for Skibbereen, Dunmanway, Bandon and Kinsale, in and around 300 or 400 social houses delivered. And that's just the western part of Cork County. Some local authorities are very good. I do think that all CEOs of local authorities need to be brought together. They need to be directed to act quicker in terms of social housing delivery. I think in relation to the figure of 11 local authorities, you know, the cycle does go in housing delivery that we do tend to see housing completion and tenancies awarded towards the end of the calendar year. That's just the way it happens. So I would hope to see that figure of 11 local authorities decrease. Having said that, to solve this housing crisis, it's going to take a completely collected effort that includes government parties, opposition parties coming together and looking for solutions. It also includes local authorities being more proactive and ensure that they deliver those figures, use the lands that are zoned, use the lands that are available to them for delivery of social housing, use every tool possible to ensure that we get as many social houses built as possible.
The central problem here is there's a level of bureaucracy imposed on local authorities by both the Department of Housing and the Department of Public Expenditure Reform, which makes no sense. So if you take last year, there were 5,000 what we call new build social homes added to the stock. Less than 1,000 of those were directly delivered by local authorities and approved housing bodies. Everything else is bought from the private sector as turnkeys or part fives or others. And when you start to ask the question why, the reason is as follows. If I'm a housing manager in any local authority and I want to deliver a social housing project, buying a turnkey is very simple. I find a developer, he's got planning or she's got planning permission, they're building out, I agree a price and I buy it. If I want to deliver a local authority-led project, still built by private building contractors, but led by the local authority, after planning is approved and before construction starts, there's a level of bureaucracy that adds 2 to 4 years to the process. It is completely insane. Simon Coveney said he was going to review it and he made no changes. Dara O'Brien said he was going to review it and he's made no changes. So there is a perverse incentive built into the system to make our local authorities over-reliant on private delivery. But let me make the point, and there's two problems with that. I'm not against turnkeys. I'm not against part fives. We need more of them. But we are not equipping our local authorities with the staffing, with the resources, and crucially with the systems to deliver those homes more quickly. And on top of that, the targets themselves are too low. So there's a lot the minister could do to assist our local authorities to deliver more homes at faster pace, and cutting away a lot of that bureaucracy would be key to it.
Aren't you removing the onus, though, from the local authorities, from the local authority management, from the CEO? I mean, I just reference Cork County Council there, you know, 120 houses in Clonakilty, 50 Kinsale, 50 Bandon, really good delivery. They've got 136 affordable homes coming online in Kinsale and Clonakilty to commence construction in 2023. You know, to say that, to put it back to the minister and not put a bit of onus and, responsibility
the
on
way.
Local authorities
it works
to deliver consistently across Ireland.
First of all, up until COVID, every local authority met all of their social housing targets every year. Right? Every single year, because the targets were so low. What I'm actually saying is we need to put more responsibility on the local authorities. So if we want them to deliver more and faster, we need to cut away the bureaucracy, give them the funds in advance, give them higher targets and then hold them to account. At the moment, every single finer detail of a social housing project has to be double checked in the customer database. Sure. I have a 250 unit development in my own constituency. It was delayed for over a year because the customs house and the minister wanted a value for money exercise that wasn't required. We could have had that up and running much quicker. So let's cut the bureaucracy and increase the targets.
Well, what we also heard today from the Royal Institute of Architects in Ireland was that the quickest place to build housing is on greenfield sites, rather than maybe what the planners have in mind of building it in areas that are within towns. That the quickest, it may not be the most sustainable, but what they said was, what Claire McManus from the RIAA said was that sustainable is not affordable and affordable is not sustainable.
And the problem with that is that our regulator says viability is not an issue. And when you talk about planning being sustainable, if you're looking at greenfield sites, every council in the country has had to look at higher densities because that's what the planning regulator wrote to them and told them to do. And the executive, particularly in Wexford, enforced that on the councillors. And we now have a situation where we have minimum densities that actually don't exist anywhere in legislation at 35 dwellings per hectare. And what you get for 35 dwellings per hectare are apartments and terraced housing. Nobody's building apartments. They're unaffordable. You know, government want to see two-bedroom apartments built. It costs 100,000 more to produce a two-bedroom apartment than it does a three-bedroom house. We have tons of planning permission granted, but because the system takes so long and it can be up to, it can from start to finish. I mean, if you put in a Natura report, it's 10 grand. They increase the price of lodging the application. It's 10 grand and the report itself can cost 2. It can take you a year to gather it. It can take a year to go through the process, another year to get through on board Panola. And by the time you've been 5 years in the system, you now have a grant of planning that's just not viable and nobody's building. So where they may have had, in Wexford in particular, they met their housing targets last year. The county development plan is now formed at that. There are lands that have been dezoned. I can assure you we won't be meeting them next year. Developers have to be brought in whether we like it or not. It's like farming. We can't do it without the farmer. farmer, we can't build without the developers. And for a county council, if anybody thinks like Rory Ahern, the utopia would be just bring the council in and let them build, it would be 20 years before we even get it organised.
But I think that's the really frustrating thing, I think, for probably listeners, because most people that maybe aren't engaged in the ins and outs of how housing actually operates, when you speak to them, they all they ever say is, why can't the corporation, just like the last time, build all the houses? And no one ever seems to be able to give a straight answer as to why that isn't the case. It seems to be so embedded now within the local authorities that it's so difficult to get something off the ground that, sure, why would you even need it? Why would you even start? Because as my understanding is there is finance there where local authorities can actually draw down, but the applications for some of that finance is not even being made because they know that
they can't find it,
that they can never get it off the ground come 5 years' time. So what would be the point in even starting that project?
All right, well, let's have a look at what some of the listeners are saying. The politicians don't get it. It's not low rents. This is referring back to exiting the market. It's not low rents or high property prices that are driving landlords out of the market. It's the erosion of their rights and the fear of losing control of their property. And the eviction ban will simply accelerate this exodus the moment it's lifted, says Ed. And if a property owner is forced to sell with the tenant in situ, the property will be worthless, since the only potential buyers will be other landlords and they're all getting out. I think we've kind of given...
Look, Colm, can I say this to you? I mean, I have lots of experience of both landlords and tenants keenly wanting the council to purchase the property. And in my local authority, it's not that the council doesn't offer market value. They do. It's just they're so slow in making a decision on the matter. And one of the things we have asked the minister to do is, because he has said he wants local authorities to buy, but he hasn't given them written detailed instructions as to the set of criteria against which they make those decisions. And I think if the minister were to do that, and I've drafted the circular and I've given it to him because I'm concerned about this, because right across the country, different local authorities are taking different approaches. But also if there is a presumption to buy. The market value is the market value and that should be provided, and I've no problem about that. It is simply unacceptable that different local authorities are applying different criteria. And the only reason we have a ban on evictions is because if we didn't have it, there were 19 local authorities that had no emergency accommodation left. Families with children would have been presenting in Garda stations. That's, of course, as a result of the failure of government housing policy. But if that wasn't there as a temporary measure, the situation would be worse. The big challenge is, what is the government doing during that winter ban on evictions to ensure that we don't have the cliff edge that the texter rightly said we could well do come April?
Well, put it this
because
way,
government isn't doing anything different.
The vacant site tax at 3% is something that's going to stall housing further. I mean, given the scenario that I've outlined, it can take 5 years to get planning. That's 15% you've paid on a vacant site. And the only way to avoid the 3% is to actually erect a commencement notice. So it could take 5 years, but there's your 15% added already.
Couple of other housing items today, Christina. Something, the income threshold for people qualifying for social housing, a bit on student accommodation as well. So there was quite a bit on this today on the agenda.
Yeah, so the increase in the income threshold is something that's been flagged for quite a while now and actually went through to Cabinet. I know a number of opposition TDs probably around this table as well, and Richard Boyd-Barrett particularly has been sort of banging on about this for a long time and looking to get some sort of answers. So those thresholds for different counties have raised up about €5,000. Given that I think the HAP system, whether we're even in favour of it right now, being a band aid to what is probably not going to solve the crisis as it is, but it just doesn't seem to be working in terms of the income threshold. So a number of counties, so like Dublin City and South Dublin and Meath, Wicklow, I think they have the higher income threshold, I think, of about 40,000, and then it levels down into other counties around the country. So look, I think it'll be welcome to some people. It might make a difference, but the pace, I think, that everything is changing, it might be a little too late.
All right, well, Christopher Sullivan, on that, I mean, more people are eligible for the same amount of housing. It potentially means a longer waiting list, does it?
No, it will make a big difference to a lot of people. You think about the type of people who would come into my constituency office. I mean, unfortunately, and this shouldn't be the case, but we've had a situation where maybe one of a couple who are in a certain amount of income might reduce their working hours just so that they can get under that income threshold. That's something that's unacceptable and shouldn't be happening. And this increase in threshold should help that. And as I said, in some counties, social housing delivery is stronger than others. So this will make a difference in constituencies like mine. It won't make a difference everywhere. Listen, there's certainly two sides to this coin. I mean, we're not burying our head in the sands in terms of the fact that we have a housing crisis. We've seen the homelessness figures. We've seen the increase in the cost of rent. But there are elements of Housing for All that are working, and we're showing that it's adaptable as well, and that we can change. You know, we've 26,000 completed houses. That's in excess of the targets for Housing for All. So there are elements of it working. And I think even Owen would agree that this 5,000 euro increase in the income threshold is something that we would welcome.
All right.